This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, absolutely delighted and happy to be with you today. We love to spend this time with you Monday through Friday discussing issues of importance to your life and your faith. And when I say discuss, that implies it's a conversation, and we love to have holy conversation with you. We certainly do. So I always like to invite you to give us a call here at the top of the hour, 833-288-EWTN. It's a toll-free number for you right here in North America. That's 833-288-3986. Just pick up the phone and give us a call. Matt Gabensky is at the ready to receive that call and to get it up on the board so we can address it. If you're a first-time caller, I'm inviting you to let us know that, and I'll do this. Ring my first-time caller bell for you, and that will welcome you to your debut right here on Women of Grace Live. We also want to remind you that we're available for you out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Simply dash on out to social media. Use the chat feature either at the YouTube channel or the Facebook page of EWTN's radio. And we will have Jeff Burson, who is our producer and social media manager, dash on out there, and he will collect it and get it up on the board, and we can address whatever is going on in your life today or some of the issues that we're facing today. We love to talk about all kinds of things right here on Women of Grace Live. We also love to pray with you, so if you have a special need today, do let us know. We'll be happy to join together in prayer just for you. So we invite you to use that toll-free number, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986, or EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. So today is the feast day of a very important saint to Women of Grace, and that is Saint Teresa Benedicta of the Cross, also known as Edith Stein. Many of you are familiar with the fact that so much of what Edith Stein gave to us in her philosophies on women, her essays on women, which outlines this deepening recognition of the giftedness of the female person and how that needs to be nurtured and cultivated, and the tremendous gain that can be made by the world at large when woman is assuming her rightful authority. And I want you to note that rightful authority, not the masculine authority, you know, not the authority that feminists say we ought to have, but her right authority, her proper authority, that which is specific to her as a feminine person, one of two genders, right? Male and female, he made them, right? And so the female person, created in the image and likeness of God in a way that is uniquely her own, has been given gifts and talents that are uniquely her own. Edith Stein casts a light upon that. And then later on, after her conversion to the faith and her entrance into Carmel, she gives us even further insight about this giftedness of woman, but always in light of that vocation as a Carmelite religious. And so we learn even more from Edith Stein when she becomes St. Teresa Benedicta of the Cross. And our Benedicta Institute for Women is named for her. Many people wonder, well, why Benedicta? And they think it has to do with Pope Benedict the 16th. And of course, what a wonderful, wonderful man of God who has given us great insights, great catechist, great theologian, given us great insights into the reality of the human person. But it's actually named for St. Teresa Benedicta of the Cross. And we have a large banner of her that we present and hold up and extol, if you will, at our Benedicta Enrichment Seminars that take place in various places throughout the country. And our Benedicta Institute for Women is ever growing. And we want you to become involved. We want you to see what it is that we're doing through Women of Grace. The goal and the mission of our Benedicta Enrichment Seminars, as well as the entirety of the Institute, is to help women to see themselves as leaders in the world today who, in living out their authentic charisms of femininity, can begin to make a change in the world today and bring about a civilization of love. And I am firmly convinced that we as women can accomplish that if, of course, we have our eye on the one who gives us the way in which we should go, and that is God, but through the icon, I like to call her this, the icon of femininity, authentic femininity, our Blessed Virgin Mary. So that is what we do. And this great saint is just wonderful. And there are many, many ways in which she has influenced me and my understanding of woman, and many ways in which I strive through the efforts of Women of Grace to bring that to other women. Our foundational study, of course, is one of the great ways. And I do want for you to join a foundational study group. If you haven't done it, you know, fall's coming up. I know that our regional coordinators and our facilitators are very busy planning the fall opportunities that will take place in person. But we also have online opportunities for you, because we know that in some places there is no regional coordinator or there is no facilitator. Of course, we're hoping that you become part of the program and you step into one of those two roles. You know, that's what we want to do. We want to spread it everywhere, and we have been spreading it everywhere. And it's all been just a marvelous way for women to come into this fuller recognition of the giftedness that is theirs by way of their gender. And so if you cannot, however, join a Women of Grace study group in your area, we do them online, and they're very efficacious. We have them in both English and Spanish. Our Spanish outreach online goes into Central and South America, and I've been amazed at the way that the women in Central and South America want more from us. So we're striving very hard to make that a reality. And I want to share with you, you know, I have been given permission to share this, and if I can pull this up really fast, I want to share to you a beautiful, beautiful email that I received just this week. And I'm telling you, maybe it was at the end of last week. It sent me into into waves of joy, absolute waves of joy, because we have had a regional coordinator in Ukraine who took our entire study and translated into the Ukrainian language. And prior to the war there, she had been moving this about all through the Ukraine. And then, of course, the war came. And I contacted her in February and had not heard back from her until just in the last week. And here I'm counting a week as, 7 days. And I received this beautiful email from her that just made my heart flutter with joy and made me just jumping up and thanking and praising God that she and her family were safe. They're safe in a different country. And I'm scrolling here. Those of you that are on social media, you can see me scrolling because I really want to get to this. If I don't get to it prior to the break, I'll look for it. After the during the break, so that I can share this with you. But the fact of the matter is, she is well, and she's telling us in this email that even in the midst of the war, Women of Grace groups are still sometimes at risk meeting together because they find this such a powerful way to be raised up in the midst of this trial and difficulty that they are experiencing. So what a great thing that God is doing. And who is the inspiration for this but the saint whose feast we celebrate today? And here's one of my favorite quotes. I'll read it to you very quickly as we're going to the break. She says, this is Saint Teresa Benedict of the Cross, Edith Stein. And when night comes and you look back over the day and see how fragmentary everything has been and how much you planned that has gone undone and all the reasons you have to be embarrassed and ashamed, just take everything exactly as it is, put it in God's hand, and leave it with Him. Those are good words to remember. We want to hear from you. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Whoop, phone lines are lighting up. I'm a happy girl. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Encouraging women in their gift of authentic femininity. Here's more Women of Grace with Johnette Williams.
Welcome back, everybody. We are so happy to be with you today. May God be praised for this opportunity to use the airwaves for His honor and His glory. We're looking forward to hearing from you. I'm inviting you to give us a call. The way that you do that is just pick up the phone. And this is what you do. You punch in these numbers toll free for you here in North America. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. We're available for you outside of North America as well. And that number begins with the country code, which is country code 1-205-271-2985. Again, that is country code 1-205-271-2985. Also available for you out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Simply use the chat feature made available for you on both of those sites and put your question or comment in there and we'll get it. If you're a first-time submitter and or a first-time caller, let us know and we will ring-a-ding-ding. We will ring our welcome bell for you. Let me just get on out here because we've got some callers with us. We have James with us. He is a first-time caller in Delaware, Ohio, and I'm ringing my bell for you, James. Welcome, welcome. He's listening to us via St. Gabriel Radio. How are you?
Good.
Good. I'm glad.
I mean, you do a good job hosting your show.
Well, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So what's on your mind?
I just want to say that I was going to return to the Catholic Church after a while, and I was baptized Catholic, but I haven't finished completing my sacraments yet, but I'm going to do it.
Good. Good. Now, let me ask you, James, are you in the RCIA program at your church, or are you being privately instructed, or how are you going about this process?
Probably being privately instructed.
Okay, that's very good. And now when you say you haven't received all of your sacraments, have you been baptized?
Yes.
Good. First communion and first confession?
Nope.
Okay. Oh, my goodness. This is going to be wonderful. And obviously, then, you haven't received confirmation. So this is going to be
right.
Just a great celebration of sacraments when you come back.
I'm 35, so it's never too late.
It's never too late. And you know what? That is an important word for everybody to hear today, James. It is never too late. If you have not been practicing your faith as a Catholic, it is never too late for you to come home. If you would like to come into the Catholic Church, it is never too late for you to come into the Catholic Church. Well, James, thank you. Now, may I ask you what sparked this desire?
Well, I mean, the Spirit.
Yeah, the Holy Spirit,
of God.
Is... Good, good. Well, I'm delighted for you. I couldn't be happier for you, and I know that all of our listeners today are rejoicing in this good news for you. And, you know, the Holy Spirit does prevail upon us, and He leads us and guides us and gives us the way in which we should go. And I'm so happy you're responding to that and that you are following that good guidance that He's giving to you. I would love to hear from you when this big event takes place, okay?
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. God bless you. Bye-bye now. You know, I am surprised oftentimes at the number of individuals who have not completed receiving those sacraments of initiation, and there are three of them: baptism, the reception of the Eucharist, and confirmation. And of course, playing into that reception of the Eucharist is the sacrament of reconciliation, which is also a sacrament that we can receive many times, as the Eucharist is. But baptism and confirmation we receive only once, and as we're taught in the teachings of the church, you know, that baptism and that confirmation place an indelible mark on the soul. We're signed with the sign of the cross, which lets, you know, all of the spiritual world know that we belong to Jesus Christ. It makes us a member of the family. Baptism does that. We're grafted in to the family of God. We're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. The stain of original sin is taken away from us, though concupiscence remains. The tendency to sin remains. That's why the sacrament of reconciliation is so important. But the stain of original sin is removed from us. And we're also, you know, baptized into the Paschal mystery, the passion, death, and resurrection of our Lord. So this is a very important sacrament. Once we receive that sacrament, though, we want to receive the other sacraments of initiation. We want to receive Eucharist. We want to be well prepared for that reception, which takes place by way of the sacrament of reconciliation. And we want to be confirmed. Confirmation takes and builds upon baptism. As a matter of fact, in many of the Eastern rites of the church, the child is confirmed and in some cases even receives First Communion at the moment of baptism as an infant. And there's something right ordered about that. You know, confirmation strengthens those graces, strengthens those gifts of the Holy Spirit that we receive in baptism. As a matter of fact, some of the fathers of the church tell us that baptism enlists us you know, into the life of faith. It enlists us into, you know, this war that we face against powers and principalities, the present rulers of this darkness that we live in. But then what does confirmation do? You know, confirmation sets us on mission. So we enlist through baptism, but we're sent on mission through the sacrament of confirmation. We become a soldier of Jesus Christ. This is the ancient and the true understanding of confirmation. This is what the church fathers teach us. I remember as a child, I got a little tap on my cheek at that moment. And that was to remind me that I was a soldier of our Lord Jesus Christ. That isn't too often expressed anymore today in that beautiful sacrament when young people are making their confirmation. But I wish that it would be reinstituted or chosen, if it's an option, for the bishops to use, because it gives us the greater reality of that sacrament. So we want them all, right? We want them all. We want every means that God gives us to enter into his divine and holy life. I was interviewing Father Dwight Longenecker yesterday, and Stacy Trusenko, and Dr. Ray Guarendi, who many of you know from the Doctor Is In program here on EWTN Radio. And we were talking about some of the difficulties and struggles that we're having in the world today, and some of the issues facing our young people and facing us as a culture. And Father Dwight made the beautiful, beautiful comment about how it is that, you know, the sacraments are the means by which heaven and earth come together, right? It's the way in which God gives us that which we need, an infusion of his own divine life to carry out our mission on earth. So we want to make use of all of those opportunities. And I want you to make use of this opportunity. Give us a call here with your question or comment, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986, toll free for you in North America. Also, EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page available for you out there at those sites, and we want for you to use the chat feature, and Jeff will get it and put it up on the board. Let's go to Janie. Janie is in Odessa, Florida today, listening to us via the EWTN app. Hey, Janie, how are you?
Hi, I'm well, thank you.
Good, good. So what's going on?
Yes, I'd like to thank you for your prayers. I called you back when Mom was passing.
Yes.
The last day of February, she passed away February 28th. I called you that Friday before she passed, because she was taking a while towards the end. She was suffering towards the end to pass away, and so I wanted prayers to, you know, we didn't know why she was still hanging on, but she passed away that Monday. So I wanted to thank you for that, and then I also wanted to ask for prayers for my dad, because he's kind of vulnerable with that, and people taking advantage of him, because now he's alone, and he doesn't have a lot of visitors at home. I don't live where he lives, so I have to come when I can. So my sister visits him daily after work when she gets off work. But I just worry a lot about him not getting his needs, you know. He still works half a day, so he still can move around, but he gets tired. But
yeah.
Just prayers for.
Sure,
one more
Janie.
Thing was the if you could pray for him, because he's the head of household, and we weren't catechized right. I've learned so much from EWTN and your show, and I just hope that he gets to where he can pray for his children and himself to get us all where we need to be.
Sure.
Head of the
house. Yeah, sure. So, well, you know, and then, of course, a parent's responsibility towards his or her daughters, or a mom's responsibility towards her daughters and sons, does not expire when those children come to their majority. That responsibility and duty of the parent lasts a lifetime. That parent is always going to be the parent of that child. And vice versa. You know, the fourth commandment has no expiration date either. So the fourth commandment tells us to honor our father and our mother. And we are called to honor our father and our mother all the days of our lives. So the way in which that authority of the parent is exercised over the child may change, but the fact that a parent has a duty and a responsibility toward that child does not change. So in desiring for your dad to help you make progress in the way in which you should go, you know, there is something about that that resonates well with the fact that your dad still has a certain authority. Now, that being said, Janie, just so that we clarify this, you know, if you are married, then that spiritual authority in your home passes to your husband. If you're single, then the spiritual authority of your home passes to you. But again, that umbrella of the parent never really dissipates. It remains intact. And parenthood derives from the fatherhood of God. God is always our father, right? So our biological parents, or the parents that we knew who raised us, if we were adopted or under the guardianship of someone else, still carries some weight. But I want to suggest this. You sound as though, through the course of time, you have also participated in bringing yourself to a deeper and greater knowledge of God and of the church that his son, our Lord Jesus Christ, founded, which is the Catholic Church. And it may well be that in a reciprocal fashion, one of the ways in which you can really live out that duty and obligation to honor and respect your dad might be for you to share conversation, holy conversation with him. And it's a beautiful thing when that can happen. And, you know, even if you cannot be with him, technology permits us to do FaceTime if he has any technological capacity, but certainly the telephone, you know, and you can have those wonderful conversations with each other centered on the faith that might be of great assistance to the two of you together just in pulling this this beautiful bond of father and daughter a little more tightly about your two souls. So I want to suggest that for you. And of course, we're going to pray for him. Now, I do have a question just in the practical nature of your dad's situation. He obviously lives by himself. Is that correct?
Yes, he lives alone. He has his own business and he still works half a day. He's getting weaker, I can tell, when I come visit. Like, I'm here right now.
Mm-hmm. And what is his age, honey? What is his age?
88.
Okay, 88. So he's up in years. Yes, so he's 88. Yeah. And well, praise be to God, he can still maintain a half-day position. That's probably a very good thing for his mind as well as for his body.
Yes.
Yeah,
my niece is the one that told me I don't know how we can get him to pray for our family because it's very broken, the siblings and all that, so she said that he needs to pray for us as head of household. So he's not very, like, he knows God, loves God. God is everything, but he's not, like, practicing Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
So he has a long way to go. So you did give me a few ideas.
Well, let me ask you this question. We can talk about this a little bit more, but let me ask you this question. So when you say he's not a practicing Catholic, is he Catholic? Was he baptized Catholic?
He is Catholic. They were married in the church, mom and him, but I don't know why, for some reason, they stopped going to confession and receiving the Eucharist and going to church. And my sister said it was because they had to work so much. But I don't know. I mean, he's starting to go a little bit to church, but he won't receive communion. So, and he went to confession.
He did go to confession?
One time when he got sick and he was in the hospital, they did a quick,
So this is my suggestion. You're there now, right? With your dad, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah. Okay. Well, that's very good. And I'm glad he has your company to be with him. But this is a perfect time to begin to at least open up a discussion with him. And, you know, you want this discussion to be non-threatening, right? So you don't want your dad to feel as though you're coming in there and browbeating him in some way, you know, with the faith. That's never a good way.
Yeah.
But you can share with your dad just about the fact that you've been learning more about the faith, you know. Sharing our story is often a very good way to help individuals be open to hearing more about the great gift that we have in our church. So, you know, I would just say, oh, Daddy, you know, I'm so happy to be with you, and I'm so happy that we have this time together. And, you know, I know it's been tough on you since Mommy's been gone, and it's been tough on me too. And I miss her so much, and I love her so much. And, you know, what I want is the best for Mom, and I've really been praying for her. And I know you probably have too. And then you just kind of pause, mm-hmm, yeah, right, and see what he says. Mm-hmm. And then you might say, you know, there's a lot that I've been learning about the faith, and let me just tell you what it's done for me in my life. And then just share with him what it's done for you. Maybe it's brought you peace. Maybe it's given you a sense of the presence of God in your everyday, you know, mm-hmm, experiences of life. You know, you just begin to share and say, Daddy, you know, none of us are getting any younger. And, you know, I would love for you to have this experience with the Lord because he loves you so much and it's never too late. And you just put it out there and see how he lands. Oftentimes when people have been away for a really long time, they feel as though, mm-hmm, it's too late for them to come back. And of course, we just had James, mm-hmm, on before you, and he was talking about coming to the, it's never too late. And he needs to know, mm-hmm, that. And, you know, if you can help him to begin to at least consider it, that's a good thing. I would recommend that you pray before you do that. You know, I mean, you pray your rosary for that intention, and just ask, mm-hmm, our Blessed Mother to speak through you. Another way is if you're sharing meals together, you can just say, gee, Dad, you know, I like to begin my meal with a prayer, thanking God for what he's given to us. And do you mind if I lead us in a prayer? You lead him in a prayer. You may have to take a more assertive role, being, you know, in a sense, the one who opens it up, because he's not going to go from nothing to spiritual head of the family. It doesn't go like that quickly. So you may need to be this beautiful, beautiful spiritual mother to him. Today we're celebrating the Feast of St. Teresa Benedict of the Cross. I would ask for her intercession, because she understands about this charism of the woman. We nurture people, right? So this nurturing, this gentle leading coming by way of true love for your dad, in terms of conversation and in opening up some of the small devotional practices to him, can be the very, very instrument that God uses to lead him nearer to you. Now you hold on, and after this break, we'll say a prayer for your dad. And I'm inviting all of you to call 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Maybe you have a suggestion for Janie. We're coming right back. Stay with us.
The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN. 1-833-288-3986.
Well, welcome back, everybody. We're so happy that you are with us today, and we're inviting you to give us a call. 833-288-EWTN is the toll-free number for you here in North America. Again, that's 833-288-3986, inviting you to use the number and join us today. If you're a first-time caller, certainly do want to know about it. Well, do this. We'll ring our first-time caller bell for you. Also want to remind you that we're available for you out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Simply put your question in there, and we will get it retrieved and up on the board for you. We have Jeff Burson producing today. He is our producer extraordinaire, and he's also our social media manager. He's the one that will get your questions off of YouTube or off of Facebook. And we have Matt Gabensky answering the phones today. He is our call screener extraordinaire. And he'll take your calls and he'll get your call up on the board, and we can have that holy conversation together. So we have Janie on the line with us, and she was calling in asking prayers for her dad. She lost her mom at the end of February, the last day of February, February 28th. And dad is experiencing that grief, not doing so well himself. He's 88 years old, still working part of the time in his own business, but he kind of has removed himself, as had his wife, from the church. And Janie wants for her dad to have a fuller experience of the Lord in his life, and also to exercise his spiritual authority as father. So Janie, I said to hold, and you did, and I'm grateful for that. And let's just say a prayer for your dad right now, okay?
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. What's your dad's first name, honey?
Reuben.
Reuben. Okay, Father God, we come before you in this moment, and we lift up to you your son, Reuben. Father, you see where he is at this point in his life, and you know everything that's going on, and you see your daughter, Janie, and you see the concerns of her heart. She's worried for her dad's safety and well-being, living alone at this age. She also is concerned about people taking advantage of him at this age. She also is aware of the fact that he's deeply grieving his wife, and why would he not? They were married for so many years, Lord. She's also aware of the fact that her father is basically estranged from you and estranged from the church in which he was baptized. And so she's desiring for a deeper relationship for her father and you. And she's desiring that her dad express this relationship in the life of their family. And Father, these are all reasonable requests, and I know that you make haste to help us in all things. So we lift Reuben up to you now, and I'm asking, Father God, that you would send to him a renewed, refreshed anointing of the Holy Spirit, that you would stir up within him those sacramental graces that he received at the moment of his baptism. And if he's received sacraments since then, Father, such as the sacrament of Eucharist, the sacrament of reconciliation, the sacrament of confirmation, I ask that you stir up all of the graces that he received in the moments when those sacraments were received. I pray, Father God, that just as the sacrament was efficacious in that moment, it is efficacious now, and that this renewal of grace in him will spark a desire in his heart. I ask, Father God, that this desire will light a flame within him, a flame of love for you that will reach to all areas of his being, healing him in the ways in which he needs to be healed spiritually, bringing greater vigor to his body, helping him in this moment of emotional distress and the loss of his wife, being comfort to him in those moments. And I ask, Father God, that even as these graces are being stirred up in him, that these graces are being stirred up in the lives of his children, in the souls of his children. I'm praying in a special way for Janie, who has been encouraged through EWTN radio and encouraged through EWTN television, who desires a deeper faith, a deeper walk with you, who desires to learn more about the teachings of the church. Father God, I thank you for this desire in her heart, because we know it's a desire that you've placed there. It says in scripture that you give us the desires of our heart. And so I know that these desires are coming by way of the Holy Spirit, and I pray that you begin to satisfy those desires of her heart. And that maybe she be this light that shines in the darkness of this family's faith life, and becomes a beacon that gives them guidance in the way in which they should go. Father, when our parents grow elderly, we find ourselves in unique positions. And sometimes it's that we are more parent to our parents than our parents are parents to us. But nonetheless, we respect their authority as parent. And we make good that fourth commandment to honor them. And to obey them as we seek to impart to them that which we have learned. And so I ask that you would give Janie this great facility of being able to present the truths of her faith, of the faith, to her father in a way that is non-confrontational, and in a way that is, may I just say, laced with your mother's own sweet maternal beatitude. And so it is, Father, that we ask for the restoration of all of these things in the life of Reuben and in the life of Janie and her siblings. And we offer this to you in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the merits of his cross, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and with a maternal beatitude and intercession of our Blessed Lady. Amen. And I just want to tell you, Janie, that, you know, I have such great confidence in our Blessed Mother. You know, our Blessed Mother loves us so much. She is our spiritual mother, bequeathed to us by her Son. And I just have a beautiful sentiment of heart that she is very involved here. So I would just seek our Blessed Mother's maternal intercession for your dad, for this time in his life, and for you. You know, she mm-hmm. You know, what is Mary's mission? Mary's mission, ordained by God, is to bring Jesus Christ to the world and to bring the world to Jesus Christ. And that's what she wants to do in your family. Okay?
Thank you so much. That was beautiful. And
you're
thank
welcome,
you for everything
Janie.
You do.
Oh, you're so welcome, Janie. It's my privilege and it's my honor to have been with you today. Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
God bless you now. Bye-bye. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986 is the way that you can be with us today. And we invite you to give us a call. We have Samuel out there on YouTube. He is in Singapore today. And he is a first-time participant. So there you go, Samuel. I'm ringing my bell for you, and I hope you hear it. And this is what Samuel's statement is here via YouTube. He says, I'm curious It's a question, really. Are the teachings of the early church fathers taken as authoritative truths on par with the Bible? It sounds as like Catholic believers believe in progressive revelation. Well, and what an interesting question that you asked there, Samuel. So let's talk about this for a moment. Do Catholics believe in progressive revelation? Well, this is what we know. All public revelation ended with the death of the last apostle. But as our Lord Jesus Christ told his apostles, he said, "The Paraclete, I will send you the Paraclete, and he will make clear to you all things." So Jesus himself tells us that this public revelation, the revelation of his life, the revelation of him among his apostles, all that he taught to them would begin to unfold, would begin to be made apparent to them, that they would begin to see more as time went by than they were seeing at that present moment. And this would come by way of the Holy Spirit. Now, this is a beautiful thing to think about. It's a beautiful reality. We know that God is inexhaustible, that the treasures and the mysteries of God are inexhaustible, that we will never reach the end of them. So does God say, okay, you know, here it is, the death of the last apostle is done now, and all that I've given to you, it's just going to remain in a static kind of condition? No, the Word of God is living. So by the very fact that the Word of God is living, and God wants us to be constantly entering more deeply into the mysteries, he's obviously, by way of the Holy Spirit, going to help us to do so. So is there any new revelation that has been given to us since the death of the apostles? The answer to that is no. There is no new revelation. Does our capacity, however, to enter into the revelation that was given increase and expand through the course of the action, through the course of time, by way of the action of the Holy Spirit? And the answer to that is yes. And this is why Jesus founded a church. He says to Peter, "You are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church," not give you a book, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against her," right? So he gives us the church. He promises that the church will remain throughout time. And he promises that we will continue, as he says to the apostles, by sending the Paraclete, we will continue to learn more about this revelation that he has given to us by way of the testimony of his own life as true God, true man. Right? So, is there new revelation? No. Is there an increasing understanding of that revelation, an entry into it in a deeper way, as the study of God increases through time? The study of God is what? Theology. The answer to that is yes. And so, we have the very first witnesses to the testimony of Jesus Christ. And who are those first witnesses? They are the ones who walked with him, the apostles. But what did the apostles do? They trained up disciples. And so we had this second generation being educated by the first generation, and then the second generation educated a third generation. And among those that came in time were what we call the early church fathers, those who, in faithfulness to the church that Jesus Christ founded and in faithfulness to the revelation that he deposited, the truths that he deposited into the hearts and the souls of those who he trained up, are faithful to that revelation, have helped to increase the body of knowledge. And so we talk about the early church fathers, right? It's important to know. And if you go back to the early church fathers, as early as Justin Martyr, 150 AD, 150 years after Jesus, you see that all of the principal parts of the sacred, the holy sacrifice of the Mass, were already in place. So we go back there because these are our beginnings. We see that our beginnings are consistent with the revealed truth that Jesus Christ gave to us, and we see that subsequent to that, everything that comes forth from that, this catena of teaching up to the present moment, is true to the revelation that Jesus Christ gave us and to the guidance and direction of the Holy Spirit as He trains us and helps us to see further. And it's built brick upon brick upon brick upon brick, but all of those bricks forming what? Like forming the kingdom of God on earth, right? So there you have it. So yeah, is it a progressive revelation? You know, it depends upon how you want to define progressive. Is it new revelation? No. Is it a revelation that stands in opposition to or in some way dilutes and or tampers with the revelation of Jesus Christ? No. Is it coming to a deeper understanding and appreciation of that revelation? Yes. And I hope that that's the case for you, Samuel, and for all of you listening today. I hope that we're not remaining stagnant in our faith. I hope that through our life of prayer and the guidance of the Holy Spirit and the graces that are given to us through the sacramental structure of our church, that we're growing in knowledge of God, right? We need to be growing in knowledge of God, opening our hearts ever more to the realities and the truths that He gives to us and have always been part of it, but are imparted to us. It's always been part of it, but then become imparted to us by way of the tutelage and guidance of the Holy Spirit in our own lives and prayers, by way of the sacraments, and by way of Holy Mother Church, whose teachings are all founded upon the revelation given to us in sacred scripture. There you have it. I hope that helps you to understand, because it's very important that you do understand, Samuel. Oftentimes, it's not understood, and misconceptions are made. Is there anywhere in sacred scripture where it says that sacred scripture is the sole authority? No, there's nowhere in sacred scripture that it says that. It does say that all scripture is profitable for teaching, reproving, correcting. Yes, that's true. But does it say it is the sole authority? No. What St. Paul tells us, hold fast the truths which you received, right, from us by word and tradition. There you have it. The Bible, you know, Jesus didn't give us the Bible. It came by way of oral tradition. It came by way of the words that were passed down, right? And the traditions that accompanied those words. So that is what the Catholic Church remains faithful to this day. Let's get out there to YouTube. Jen is with us. Jen is a first-time participant. I'm excited to ring my bell for you, Jen. Jen says this, it's a sunny afternoon here in Scotland. Ah, listen to this. This is lovely. I don't know if you know this, Jen, but I am 50% Scottish. My mother's parents came from Glasgow and Motherwell. And so my mom was first generation. I'm second generation Scottish. How do I find out more about your online study groups? Thank you in advance. Well, I want to tell you what, Jen. You stay tuned to our website, womenofgrace.com. When those study groups are coming up, they will be announced there. Now, right now, you can go out and you can join a morning Women of Grace online event. It's being advertised. You can sign up for that and you'll find out more about the studies there. We would love for you, Jen, to work with us in this field of evangelization, helping women to understand who they are in the eyes of God and the great gift that is theirs by way of authentic femininity. We would love for you to participate and to bring Women of Grace to Scotland. We will help you. We will walk with you. So do get out there, sign up there. You can send us an email and we'll contact you, info@womenofgrace.com. We'll be only too happy to reach out to you and include you in all of these online events that will be and are getting ready to take place. And let's see what we can do together in the future. So that's my invitation to you, Jen. Participate and, you know, info@womenofgrace.com. Let us reach out to you and see what we can do together for the honor and the glory of God. Thank you so much for that. We invite you to give us a call. We've got a few minutes left here in the program. Our phone lines are open for you, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. And I think, Jeff, you've got a caller for us there.
Yes, I would like prayer. My name's Rose in Western PA. I need prayer for our family. We have a daughter-in-law who is still deathly afraid to get together with our family. It's been 2.5 years that we haven't been together. Our hearts are broken. We need prayer for unity, that our family can get back together and she gets rid of this fear. And we need to see our grandson who's 4.
Oh, sweetheart.
Thank you for praying. God bless you and everyone.
God bless you. And, you know, my heart breaks for you because I know that this is the case with many, many grandparents. I know grandparents who have been denied the opportunity to see their grandchildren since 2020, and it sounds like this is exactly your case. And this is all driven by fear. And this is not a fear that's coming from God. This is not the fear that's warning us about impending danger. This is a fear that's coming by way of the enemy. It's false evidence appearing real. And here we are at this point in time. And we know that COVID is always going to be with us in some form or another. So the question is, do we live in fear of this and allow COVID to rule our lives? Or do we take prudent precautionary measures, right? Do we act prudently and then put our assurance, our faith, our hope, and our confidence in God? The latter way is the way in which we should go. And I don't know if I'm talking to anybody today that is crippled by this fear. I've been surprised the number of people that I have met who have said that they've not been out of their homes in 2.5 years. This is not healthy. This is not emotionally healthy, not psychologically healthy. It isn't spiritually healthy. It's not socially healthy. It's bad. And it's not even physically healthy because we are social beings. We are created for communication, for being with others. And this deprivation that was imposed upon us for that period of time has been taken to a very unholy place in those who have allowed themselves to be captivated by this fear. Now, if we have a serious fear of this, we need to seek the help that is necessary. We need to seek therapeutic help to get over this fear. And I'm not saying to lack prudence and to throw caution to the wind. I'm not saying that. But there is a way to get back to our life, in a prudent and cautionary way. And that is smart. But it is not smart to allow ourselves to be put into a bondage by fear. And it's heartbreaking for grandparents to be deprived the opportunity to see their grandchildren out of some kind of scrupulosity with regard to this fear. And I think that it's time for us to pray for this. I'm certainly going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for your family. But I want to pray for everybody that might be in this state of tremendous bondage to an unholy fear. The evil one will do everything that he can to cause our demise spiritually, physically, emotionally, psychologically. And he'll use this. And I'm afraid that he's had agents that have helped this to be used. Right within the society of man. And so, Father God, we come before you in this moment, and I lift your daughter up to you. I lift her daughter-in-law up to you. I lift this grandchild up to you. I lift this entire situation up to you. I lift up to you all of those individuals, Father, that basically are being held in captivity to fear as a result of this COVID virus. Father God, I'm asking that you would take away this unhealthy fear, that you would increase within us the virtue of prudence, that you would also increase within us that virtue of fortitude, that virtue that helps for us to place our full confidence in you, that virtue that helps for us to keep our eyes fixed on you, taking the prudent steps that are necessary in this life, but not allowing ourselves to be chained into our homes because of fear. Father God, we ask you to break this chain of fear that has a hold on your people. I'm asking you, Father, to do this by way of the merits of the cross of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and I am calling down his precious blood right now to enter into the hearts and the minds of all of these individuals that seem to have come underneath this maligning spirit of fear. Father God, I'm asking that these chains would be broken, that your people would be set free, that they through prudent application of precautionary measures might have the fortitude to move forward, to regain that which has been lost, their lives, their relationships with their family members, their social activities, their contribution to society, Lord God. I'm asking for all of this to be made manifest in this moment. Father God, you tell us to walk by faith, not by sight. So we walk by faith, Father God. We walk by the faith that you are making a way in this desert condition that we have been in, and that you're bringing us into the promised land, Lord, where we can once again experience the true joy of being your sons and your daughters. Father, I pray this prayer in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the merits of his cross, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and with the maternal beatitude and intercession of our Blessed Lady, in Jesus' name. We pray. Amen and hallelujah. It's been great being with you today. I'm going to be back with you again tomorrow. Looking forward to it. It's Wednesday. Sue Brinkman will be with us for our wacky Wednesday edition of Women of Grace Live. We're looking forward to hearing from you. We always welcome your questions and your comments. Until we have the opportunity to be together again, may God bless you. Saint Teresa Benedicta, pray for us.